Hey everyone, welcome back to episode 10 of A Life of KG. Today I am super excited because I get to interview the beautiful Shelby from Lash Boss Radio, and she's also the owner of Pink Lady Lash in Texas, America. She has two locations. Lash Boss Radio was one of the first podcasts that I listened to and got totally hooked. If you haven't checked it out yet, definitely start listening in. She's interviewed some amazing people in the lash industry. Totally a game changer. So yeah, check it out and get listening. And without further ado, here she is.
Okay, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Okay, so obviously most people know who you are and what you do, but for those that don't, can you just tell us a little bit about you and what exactly you do?
Sure. So I'm over in Austin, Texas in the US, and I'm a salon owner. I have two salons here, and I'm also the host of Lash Boss Radio.
Cool. Okay. So obviously, like, you've launched the biggest podcast in the industry, I think, so far. It's literally huge. And I know, obviously, I was on it the other week, and like, it's just, it was one of the first that I'd listened to as well, actually, and I'm hooked. So why did you decide to start that podcast, and did you imagine it'd be as big as what it is now?
I started it, honestly, because I felt like I was always hearing the same questions in classes or on forums. I was reading a lot of questions from people that were newer, and then I'd see people that even those that have been doing lashes for a while, they'd answer questions, and I kind of disagreed with what was being said, I guess. And I wanted there to be more of like common knowledge in our industry, and for more people in the industry to be speaking the same language, not like English or whatever, but I'm saying like we agree on some best practices. So I figured I could go on to, making this podcast and using this medium to kind of spread more awareness about our industry, spread like knowledge, and then also use other people that I look up to and that I know many people look up to help, spread facts and knowledge throughout, the industry this way. And then I didn't think it would be like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't see it as super huge, but
it is.
That's crazy. I don't know. I didn't think it would like be, super popular in other countries, but it's been really nice to have like out of state and then out of the country, like overseas guests has been crazy. But I didn't think it was gonna take off like it has, and it's really cool.
No, it's amazing. And thank you for that as well, because we're learning so much without going to training courses or speak or having views on people that we might never get to talk to in the industry. So it's really good.
Thank you.
Who has been your favorite and most inspiring person that you've interviewed so far on there?
Wow. So I feel like it's been, that's hard to say, just because I personally handpick every single person that's on the show. And so I look up to almost everyone. I really enjoy like learning about them more, but I think it's been fun to get to know like the overseas people. I think Lash Base Jamie was really fun, just because I've kind of had a friendship with him over just Instagram. I haven't even met him in person yet, but I'm going to meet him a few times this year at some events that we'll both be attending. I think Elena from Lash Makers was great. And then like when I got to talk to you and Zoe and Julie about like World Lash University, that was really cool because I don't know. I just, you guys do things a little bit differently over there. And I think it's really cool to hear from overseas people, because I'm so used to talking to everyone that's from here. And yeah
it is amazing, like talking to other countries and stuff and overseas, because we do things differently, and how and how salons are run and that are different, and how we manage staff and things like that. So it is so interesting listening to everyone else.
Yeah, and I've had a lot of like my close friends in the industry on the show, and it's been cool to get to know them more in like a businesswoman aspect, because when we're together, we're more so just talking, just like girl talk and stuff, and just seeing them in like how everyone else sees them as just these like badass women like in our industry, and hearing them talk about their stories and stuff is really cool. So
yeah, definitely. So you have two salons as well.
Mm-hmm.
And whereabouts are the salons?
They're in Austin, Texas.
Okay, perfect. So when did you start them, and what made you kind of go from one location to two locations?
So I opened my first one the day before I turned 25. So that's our 3-year anniversary is like in less than a month in April. So it was like 2016. And then about a year later, I opened the second one, and that's just because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. Honestly, I regret doing it so soon, because I have a hard time just like being in the moment and just enjoying what I have now. And that's something I talk about on my show a lot, is just like, it's okay to not necessarily slow down, but like enjoy the process of what you're doing too. No, not just be in a rush to get to the next step. But I did, and I opened a second one, and it's been cool. But it's just been a nonstop, just every day is super fast paced, and there's so much to do all the time. But I love it. I don't think I would have it any other way. I don't think I will expand anymore though. I think I'll just keep the two.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how it happened.
That's cool. So are you still lashing yourself in the salons?
I don't. It wasn't a really, really hard transition either. I think I stopped lashing a little over a year ago. So I think, you know, late 2017, early 2018. Probably like 6 months after my second salon opened, I realized I was hurting the team by still lashing, because I wasn't any use to anyone when I was behind the table. And so I kind of just had my eye focused more on like the team and building the business and working on it. It has caused a little bit of conflict in my head though, because I always feel like, do the girls think I'm just, you know, at home, like relaxing while they're working so hard? Because sometimes I'm not in the salon working. A lot of times I work from home, but I'm working all the time. I work still so many hours a day. So, you know, before the salon even opens to by the time it closes, I'm still working that whole time. But a lot of it's, I'm also working on the show and stuff too, but there was just not enough time for me to be sane and also work on the business and lash. So I kind of just like gave my clients to the girls, and it's been fine. Sometimes I'll jump in if they're like really short staffed. Like over the holidays, I had to help take some of the overflow clients and stuff, but that's not really common.
Yeah. I mean, I know exactly how you feel. I mean, I obviously got my salons, and I stopped lashing a while ago as well. And sometimes the guilt that I feel if I'm not in the salon, and it's like, because I'm so worried that everyone else is going to think, oh, Katie doesn't work, or
she's
not doing it because she's not lashing. And I have piles and piles of work to do, and my calendar to-do list is like as long as my arm, but no one sees that. And actually, it's not about us having to justify ourselves of what we are doing in our business, but we do just feel this guilt of if they don't see us, they think we're not working.
That's absolutely true. I always feel like that. And sometimes when I leave the salon, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go work on this or that. Like, because I just don't want them to feel like I'm just, I don't know, just, which isn't, that's not bad either. You know, you've worked so hard to have some freedom, but it's, I just feel bad taking it, you know?
Yeah, I know, definitely. But then I think, like, say, for example, tomorrow I'll be in my salon and I have all this work to take, and I'll sit there at reception and do this work so people can see I'm physically working. But then you have clients come in and wanting to talk to you, the girls want to come in to talk to you. So all that work, I guarantee I won't get done. And it's like, I should have gone to the office.
Yeah, it's funny also, like, I don't think clients understand it either, because someone asked one of our, you know, the manager for one of my locations, she asked her, like, does Shelby not lash anymore? And Sierra, my manager, was like, oh no, like she's, you know, usually working on the business and like on the business side of things. And she was like, well, don't y'all have a receptionist in Sierra Lab? And she was like, well, yeah, but that's not anywhere near like all of the work that has to be done. Like, it's not just booking clients. It's not, I don't even do that, you know, but it's just so much other things that you don't think about unless you're in the position, you know?
Definitely. I do think we need to learn that we don't have to justify ourselves.
Yeah, for sure.
Very, very hard. Mm-hmm. Like, how does your kind of day look like? How are you managing and fitting everything in, like recording obviously the podcast, then managing two locations, which is two teams, and we know how hard managing teams can be at times. So how do you kind of do it? What's your normal day look like?
You know, it's different every day, of course, which, you know, everyone in this position, they know, you know what I mean, you know what I mean. But I do kind of structure it to allow for the last minute things to pop up and to still let everything in my life have a time and a place. So what I do is I have like one day where it's just for the podcast. And it's hard whenever I have overseas guests, because that kind of, it's different because the time difference is so different. So for the most part, I do like my podcast days on Thursdays, and then I'll do like marketing and stuff on one day of the week and whatever. But as long as I'm mostly like on top of everything, I have time for when things, you know, pop up. And because, you know, like when you have a salon, sometimes like someone calls in sick or like a desk girl's out or whatever happens. And their last minute errands and stuff like that. So I allow for that. And I know those things are going to happen, but in that way, it doesn't stress me out, because for a long time it did. Like, everything that, you know, was needed of me, it would stress me out so much, and I was really uptight, but it was because I wasn't allowing myself any free time for anything. So I try to like block my days off certain ways. But I feel like also I've sacrificed a lot of like my personal life, which, you know, my friends and family understand, but it's kind of sad. Like, I don't really do anything except work. And I don't recommend that or preach that at all. Like, especially on my show, I don't like that, but, it is, you know, at face value, that's what I've done, is I've sacrificed something. But I feel like when you have so much on your plate, something is going to falter, because if you're trying to do it all, then you're not doing it all 100%. So I've kind of poured my entire self into all of the things that I have going on in my career. Mm-hmm. So it's like, the one thing that I kind of let go by the wayside is like my personal life. But I'm getting there. I'm still learning. So, but it's hard to juggle sometimes.
Yeah, it definitely is hard. And I think that's definitely one thing that we have in common, because I definitely let my personal life go as well. And it is all about business. But then I find business is my hobby as well. So when I am at home relaxing, I tend to still want to work because I like doing it. But then sometimes going out with friends or going to parties or anything like that, that's going to steer my focus off, I do not do as much as I maybe should do.
Right. And like, that's the whole thing too, like the guilt of like not having work-life balance all figured out. But I'm, you know, the older I'm getting, I'm starting to realize that I don't really care about that as much. Like, I like working. Like, this is what I like to do. I am so lucky to be doing something that I love. And there's been people like in my life that have said in the past, you know, this might not be like the only industry that you're ever in. Like, you may find that you want to like leave the beauty industry and do something else. And I'm like, no, I would never. Like, this is what I love doing. I found it, you know. And I don't know, whenever I'm out with friends or something, sometimes I feel like I can't really relate to them either. And that's also why I really love doing the show, because I'm talking to people that I relate to, and that's really rare to find. None of my friends are business owners, and even my own team, even though like we're together, the conversation is a little bit different than, you know, what I'm thinking about in my head. Like, there's always you know, numbers and things flying around in there. And it's just hard. You know, so I just love, you know, working on the business and watching it grow. And then it's really crazy. You can, you know, something, you can change something and it has like a direct effect on your company. And like, that's something that you put in motion. That's something that you created. It's crazy. So I just love watching that. You know, it's like a living creature kind of, and it's growing. It's like a real baby.
Yeah, it really is. Now we know why the expression is like, oh, your company is like your baby. It's true.
Yeah,
for and sure. I often look at the whole salon as well as a baby as well. I look at the staff, they're like my children. They come to me with all their issues. Mm-hmm. And the actual company is like a husband. Sometimes you love it, sometimes you hate it.
Yeah, that's true. It's so true.
Definitely. So obviously you don't have like a massive work-life balance going on, like I think most of us, but what things do you do to kind of relax and unwind and de-stress?
There's like silence because I'm like, wow, there's nothing. I don't know. Whenever it's hot outside over in Texas, it's a lot of the year is really nice weather, but I really love to get on the water and paddleboard and kayak. That's something that I really love. I have animals. They are really fun to just lay down with, cuddle with. But my family is really, really close and I have a pretty big family. And I actually live really near them, like really close by. Mm-hmm. So I try to go see them, even if it's just for like half an hour or something. But yeah, I don't really do much. Like I don't have a lot of hobbies in, so yeah, I think I want to take up, I don't know if you've heard of acrylic pouring, but I've been like binge watching all these videos on YouTube and Instagram about like, I've always just kind of been artistic. I loved like drawing and painting and sewing and cross stitching, all this stuff growing up. And I think I want to start like getting back into art. I was never like amazing at it, I feel like, but it was always really fun to me. That's why I love lashing, I think. But acrylic pouring looks really fun. I think I might start doing
that. Oh, wow. I'll have to have a look at that. I haven't heard of that before.
It's so cool. You can add like crystals to your art. It's just like you put paint in a cup kind of, and you put it over like a canvas or I don't know. And it just looks really cool because you can have all these different colors and they kind of look like a crystal, like a geode. And then some people put like actual real crystals like in their acrylic pouring pieces. Anyway. Yeah. I don't know. I don't do anything yet, but that's what I feel like I might pick up soon.
That's cool. Sounds cool.
Yeah.
So with going back to the salon, so how do you kind of find the right team? What do you kind of look for in someone that comes to you and wants to work on your salons?
I always look for their character. There's a lot of places that won't hire people that don't have experience. And I do agree with that just because it is so much time and a lot of money to have someone on your payroll that knows, like that can't make you money yet for a while because you don't want to add anyone on the books until they're doing the work like you do the work. So it takes a long time to train people, but I do look for character and I look for people that kind of look like they want to find their family, like their second family. Mm-hmm. Not someone that just needs to learn how you do it and then will be gone in 6 weeks. So I just look for their character, and I have really low turnover. I don't know what it is. I don't think that I ask any specific questions, but I try to just find out like how long they were at their last job and how they leave their last job and are they on good terms. I never let someone like not put in their 2 weeks notice at their previous job. I always want them to leave respectfully because I expect that. Mm-hmm. I'm very clear about all of our expectations and our policies, like even at their interview. And so in the interview process is pretty long too. They do like a phone interview with a manager, then they meet the manager in person, then they meet me, then they meet the team. And as long as everyone kind of agrees that it would be a good fit, we bring them on. And I think that's a little bit different. I guess we've been doing it, so I just don't but I guess now saying it out loud, I know that a lot of places aren't like that. Mm-hmm. But my salon is on something called team-based pay. And so it's really cool. You should check it out. It's basically...
I'm actually going to ask you more about that.
Yeah, it's, oh my gosh, I love it so much. So the team is really involved in like the growth of the company, and they, you know, it's kind of like profit sharing and everything. It's really, really cool for the team, but it's also cool for the business owner too, because things aren't so like unexpected. With payroll is crazy. That's something I didn't really know until I got into it, which is, you know, another reason why I shouldn't have expanded so quickly. Cause you, oh gosh, you just pay for so much. And you know, the commission-based structure, it's nice, but it rewards the wrong behaviors, I feel like. And, it just really inflates like payroll taxes. And I don't know how like taxes and stuff are over there, but.
Yeah, I think that's the, so your commission structure, I think is like self-employment over here. Like
renting
chairs.
Yeah. Well, no, it's, yeah, it's not like rental, but it's like they make a percentage of what sales they did, and it just kind of makes each person be, I'm not calling anyone on my team selfish, but it makes everyone have a selfish mindset. And so team-based pay is about like you want everyone to be full, and because like when the salon beats certain goals in a day or a month or whatever, when they beat like their monthly goal, then everyone gets a bonus. And then it's just so much, like it's so hard to go into it all, but it's like really worth like looking into, because it really has helped my company like grow. And even though I have the same people that I had, even when we had commission, we're seeing such bigger numbers and happier employees, and I'm happier. And yeah, so the team basically gets to have a say so in who's on the team, because those are the girls and guys that are going to be helping you beat the goals. So you have to make sure that y'all are going to get along.
Yeah, that's really good. I'll definitely check that out. Really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really important when you are in interviewing and employing more people that the team do have a say on that person as well, because they're the ones that have to work with them day in and day out, not necessarily us directly. And if you put the wrong person in a team, it can really change the whole atmosphere in salon.
Yep. That's happened multiple times with us. Like, and the team doesn't see it this way. They just see it as like, I don't like this girl. I don't like working with her. I don't like coming to work when she's here. But like, for me, it was more so like, why can't y'all get along? I've just paid thousands of dollars to basically train her because she's been on payroll this long, and I have to let her go because y'all can't get along. Yeah. Or she's gonna quit because y'all can't get along. And you know, then you bring another one in, and then same thing happens, and it's like by the end of it, you've lost thousands and thousands of dollars, and no one sees it like that. They just see it like, well, I didn't like her, and it's just silly to me. I hate that. But if you give them a say so in the beginning, then they can't really say that, you know.
Yeah. Oh, the joys of a bunch of girls being together.
I know. I'd love to say that it's not like that, but it, unfortunately, even in the strongest teams, you've got to make sure that everyone gets along. And sometimes people are going to come in, they seem like a great fit, and they end up not working out. So it's unfortunate. It costs a lot of money to lose people.
It definitely, it sure does. Mm-hmm. So obviously, Shelby, you have such an exciting year coming up. Mm-hmm. Like, you're traveling all over the show that I can see on like your Instagram and everything. Mm-hmm. Do you want to like let us know what you have got going on and what you'd like to promote going forward?
Sure. Yeah, I'll be in a lot of places this year. I'm speaking in Dallas, Texas, and like Arizona, like Scottsdale, Arizona. I'll be at the NALA Awards in Canada in May. I got nominated for like a media award for the show, which is exciting. I'll be at y'all's event in like mid-May. So I'm so excited about that. It'll be my first time over in the UK, and I, oh my God, I'm so excited.
I mean, it'll be for the first time.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait. I think I'm going to stay like a little bit afterwards too. Mm-hmm. Cause I want to be able to do some interviews while I'm there, because I'm moving the show also onto YouTube. So it'd be nice to record a little bit while I'm there. So I'll get with you on that later. But yeah, and then I have to go to Las Vegas for the IBS show. I'm going to have a booth there with the Lashpreneur and Lashcast podcast. And we're all three like linking up and doing a booth together. It'll be really fun. And then I'll be judging a competition like the day before IBS. So I'm so excited for that. And then I'm going to Miami, Florida for the Beauty Factor again, also in the summer. And then I am so excited to go to Australia this year too at the end of the year. There's another event there that I'll be speaking at, I believe. And yeah, I think that those are it. But like I try to talk about them on my Instagram because no one's going to remember any of the things that I said. But I also want to just say that I'll be doing some Lash Boss meetups this year, and just going to different cities, and also in some of the cities I just named that I'll be in, just kind of hosting little networking events for lash artists. And I'm not, you know, selling anything or promoting anything, which is not wrong, but I honestly just want to do it to socialize with everyone. So I think it'll be fun to meet more people this year.
Yeah, definitely. It's so good. And it's that's what the lovely thing of this industry is, and I guess us doing the podcast as well, is even though we might not have massive friendship groups or people that can relate to us when it comes to our industry, we have so many friends that we know that are very similar, and that's why it is just so sociable for us. Or we might do things like, for example, the podcast that bring us no money in at all, but we just love it because we're connecting with like-minded people.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really lucky to already have met so many people in this industry, but there's so many people I can't wait to meet, like you and like Zoe and Julie and even Jamie. And it's just crazy. Like this has all, like the internet has connected all of these people. It's crazy.
Definitely. So I know you're super busy, so I'm not going to keep you much longer. So do you want to tell everyone what your social media handles are so they can check you out?
Yes. So Lash Boss Radio is the one for the podcast. And then my salons is just Pink Lady Lash. And then, yeah, that's it. I have a personal one too, but I'm not really on that one ever.
We didn't have time for personal stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a complete honor. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. It was really fun. I know I was rambling, but it was fun.
Oh, you're amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.